You know, I look for songs that will really embody what faith is. And this is what we're talking about. It's what we've been talking about for a few weeks. And we're talking about what faith is, what faith does. And today we're going to talk about faith walking. So let's think about what we just sang. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I have hope. Right? These are things that faith teaches us we can touch. We learn from Hebrews chapter 11, which is where we're going to be again today, so turn there. We learn from Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for. But it means we can touch it now. We can possess it now. You know, that song talks about the victory that we will experience. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you have the victory in your life. We will experience it one day. But we have the victory now, and we can live in that victory. We can talk about, we can plan our lives about what He does, what He lives, how He works in us. So we saw in the first week that faith is tangible. Faith is something that allows us to touch the things that we will possess in the future, that we can have them just as assuredly as we have what's ever in our pockets right now, what's ever in your purses, that we can possess faith and we can possess those things just like something that we can physically touch right now. Last week we learned that faith lives. It produces things in our lives. It produces authentic righteousness. It produces authentic worship. And most importantly, we saw last week, it produces an authentic worship and witness. So we, though, as we talked last week about Abel, Abel died 5,700 years ago. But Abel still testifies to us today about how to be righteous, how to obey God, how to live with God. Today we're going to talk about the next hero of faith that we meet in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And this is a man named Enoch. And we know from this that Enoch had the kind of faith that pleases God. And you're going to learn today that Enoch's faith pleased God so much so that Enoch walked with God. And we're going to talk about what that means. In fact, Enoch walked with God so much and so closely that one day he just sits out walking and doesn't come home. God takes him home. He just kept walking on with God. And that's the kind of faith we want. We want the kind of faith that walks with God. We want the kind of faith that pleases God. So I want to start out this morning with one of my favorite illustrations of all time. I didn't make it, but it is one of my favorite illustrations of all time because it teaches us what God expects us to do with this faith. And it's about a hypothetical church of ducks. Yes, ducks. I saw Gary's head pop up. It's a hypothetical church of ducks. So each Sunday, the ducks would leave their houses. They would waddle down to church. They'd come in. On this particular Sunday, they waddled down to church. They came in. They even had people that loved the back row more than any. They had people that liked the left side more than any. But all the ducks take their places. There's even a duck choir. The duck choir comes in, they set up, they sing, and it's time for the duck preacher to preach. So he gets up and he opens the duck Bible. And he said, you know, God made you to fly. Heads go up a little bit. God made you to fly. He wants you to fly. He gave you wings to fly. When you go out of this building, you need to fly. You need to fly and show the world that you're ducks. About that time, all the ducks are saying, amen, amen, amen. Right? Then they left the church and they waddled home. Y'all got that, didn't you? They waddled home. They didn't fly. You see, they didn't take the lesson that that they were being taught and they didn't make it part of their lives. That's what faith is for a lot of us. We think faith sometimes is something we have for 1 hour a day on Sunday, maybe two if you come to Sunday school. Maybe three if you come Sunday night, and sometimes on Wednesday. Faith needs to be part of our lives constantly. And that's what this idea of walking means. Walking means living a lifestyle in communion with God, living our lives in faith. So let's stand if you can, and let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And we're going to talk about this next step of faith. We know it's alive. We know it produces worship, righteousness, and witness. But today, it should make us walk. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You can be seated. So you say, well, wait a minute, where do you get walk out of that? And I'm going to show you in a minute. But I want you to understand first that this kind of faith that Enoch had was a faith that pleased God. Again, so much so that God took him without him experiencing death. God just let him walk. You know, they're walking one day, and they just keep walking. Wouldn't that be awesome? Would that not be awesome? So let's think about what kind of faith it is, first of all, that pleases God. And the Bible tells us, it says in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. But it tells us two things about the kind of faith that we do need to please him. Number one, he who comes to God must believe that he is. So the first thing we have to do to have this kind of faith that pleases God is to believe that he is. And you sit there and you think, well, duh, you know, we're in church. We believe that, right? Well, there it means a little bit more than to simply believe that he is, that he exists. And I want to explain what that word means. The word actually in your Bibles is believe that he is. And you guys know God, Jesus, they were both real big on I am. And it means he eternally is. It means something more than just the fact that a God exists. It means that the God of the Bible exists. And I want to show you something. In James 2:19, James is writing to these churches, and he's telling them that the kind of faith they need to have is one that acts, that one is one that walks. Because there were people in the church that said, oh, I have faith in God. I believe in God. And they thought that was enough to save them. That they believed that a God existed. And here's what James said to them. You believe there is one God, you do well. Very sarcastic statement. Even the demons believe and they tremble. So you see what James was saying is, look, the demons believe in God and it makes them do something. It makes them tremble. You can't just say, I believe in God, and it have no impact on your life. But were the demons saved? No, they weren't. So what you have to believe that he is more than just recognize that he is. And what this is talking about, I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. This tells us what it means to believe that he is. Colossians was written by Paul, and he's trying to explain to this young church at Colossae about who Jesus is. So when we say that we believe that God exists, here's what it means. We're going to be Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. It says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, Jesus again, all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on heaven and things on earth, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So when you believe who Jesus is, when you believe that he is this kind of faith that they're talking about, what they are saying and what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the creator, he is the sustainer, he is the person who keeps the world as it is, He made all things. By him all things were created, and they are all made for him. That's the thing. We are here to glorify God. And we, when we believe that he exists, what we are to believe is we are to put our faith in the fact that he made us. I was talking to the boys that came to Jesus Christ this morning. And first thing, we sit down out there at the picnic table and say, what do you know about God? He made everything. You know, that is a simple belief. But you know what? It is absolute truth. And you got people that are much older than these two boys are who will not accept that, who will not believe that. It is simple faith. And we need to believe that he exists. We need to believe that he created us. We need to believe that he sustains us. He gives us breath each and every day. He gives us the opportunity to come and recognize him as God. Paul wrote to the Romans, and he was talking about judgment being imposed on people. And he said, look, judgment comes, and God brings judgment when people know God up here. They know him intellectually, but they do not glorify him as God. They do not treat him like God. They do not think of him like God. And they become futile. They become foolish in their minds. So people think, oh, yeah, there's a God. I don't have anything to do with him. Or he didn't have anything to do with me. He puts you here. He's the reason you're here. You're here to satisfy and to glorify him. That's our purpose in life. But that's the kind of faith that pleased God. Not just to believe that a God exists, it's to believe that the God of the Bible exists. Then there's a second thing that Hebrews tells us. He tells us in verse 6, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what's the reward if we diligently seek him? Salvation. It's going to spend eternity in heaven. Enoch knew that. Enoch's walking with God. Enoch walked with God. He lived 365 years. And he was kind of one of the young ones there at that point in time, you know? But he's living 365 years, even after he had Methuselah as a child, who lived 900 years. Enoch walked with God another 300 years. That, again, that idea of walking is we are walking like this. Think about if you go on a walk in a park with somebody. Y'all going to the same place? You're not going to be walking with somebody if you're going to different places, are you? You're going to the same place. You sit, what do you do as you walk? Do y'all just sit there and quiet and walk? Yeah, you talk, don't you? Well, what's been going on with you? Hey, look at that bird. Look at that snake. Whatever, you know, whatever it is. Squirrel. So we can do all those things. That's how we walk. And you learn about people. You spend time with them when you walk. That's exactly what he's going to be talking about. But Enoch knew God as a personal Savior. God promises us throughout the Bible that if we seek him, we will find him. Lots of verses. 1 Chronicles, Old Testament. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Proverbs. Those who seek me diligently will find me. You notice this? Seek. Not just look for. Seek. There's a verb in there that means you really are going. If you seek me diligently, you're going to find me. Jeremiah 29:13 is probably the best one. It says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So all of our heart, we got to seek him. Jesus talked about this in Luke. He said, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Understand what he's saying. You start out just looking generally, then you're seeking, then you find the right door. One door, right? One way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to me but through the Father. That's it. So he's saying there is one way, but if you seek that door and you find that door and you knock on that door is going to be opened. And that's the kind of faith that pleases God. We understand who he is. We know that he created us. We know that he sustains us. And we know that he brings salvation. We know that he is a rewarder, as Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says, of those who diligently seek him. So, Enoch is celebrated by God. This is God's testimony in Hebrews about Enoch and the kind of faith that Enoch had that pleased God. So you still should be asking, where are you getting this walk stuff? we know that Enoch had a walk that pleased God. So turn back over to Genesis chapter 5. That would be a good question, but we're going to talk about Enoch's walk and what that means. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And the book tells us here that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. So Methuselah was born when Enoch was 65. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So that's all we know about Enoch. That's all we know other than his genealogy about a kind of faith that he had that pleased God. But he walked with God. And we're told all throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, that we are to walk with God. You remember Adam and Eve before the fall? They walked with God in the cool of the garden, didn't they? God created us to walk with Him. Sin broke that relationship, broke that fellowship. And Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap that was created by sin, no matter what our sin is. You know, God views sin, did we break His law? The Bible says if you break one, you might as well have broken them all. We tend to look on some sins, well, that's worse than mine. No, it's not the way God looks at it. So Enoch's walking with God, Adam and Eve, they walked with God. We have the ability to walk with God. We have the ability to live the kind of life. Can you just imagine Adam and Eve walking with God who created everything? And, you know, well, you know, maybe God asked Adam, why'd you name that a sheep? Why'd you name that a lion? How's the garden going? What? Just talking to God like we talk to each other on a hike. Would that not be awesome too? And then Enoch walked with him so long that it was so natural for them to walk together, he just kept walking one day. And that's what it means to walk with Him. Our lifestyle is one that honors God. Our lifestyle is one that recognizes God in each and everything that we do, no matter how piddly it is, no matter how big it is. This is the great life. This is the kind of faith that pleases God. It is one that causes us to walk with Him. And I want to go through what the Bible tells us about what this means in detail. Once we become Christians, the New Testament tells us that we start to walk by the Spirit. We no longer walk in the flesh. We walk by the Spirit. And we're going to have fruit in our lives for the first time. That fruit's going to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things we didn't have before. We're not going to have those anger issues that we used to have. We're not going to have those dissension issues. We're not going to have the murdering issues that we used to have. All these kind of things can change when we start walking in faith. So let me give you these characteristics of the walk with God. And take notes, write in your Bible here as we go. Number one, it is a truthful walk. A walk with God is a truthful walk. John was writing to the church at Ephesus in the third epistle, and he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You say, what is the truth? Well, the Bible answers that question, doesn't it? Thy word is truth. So what does it mean to walk in the truth? It means to walk according to the precepts of the Bible. We know what they are. We can diligently seek them and we can find them. That's what God calls us to do. And He wants His children to walk in truth. He wants us to honor what Scripture teaches. He wants us to honor Him and testify about who He is truthfully. So it is a truthful walk. Secondly, it is an upright walk. Romans 13:13-14 says, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. He wants us to walk properly. And we know what God calls us to do. God gives us commandments. He gives us illustrations for life. He gives us principles to live by. You know, just because there's not something in the Bible that says thou shalt not, we can figure out what God's plan for our lives are. We can say, does this honor God? Is this a good use of my resources? Is this what God would want me to do? Is it supporting a godly principle? Is it against a godly principle? We can walk properly before Jesus Christ, but He says, I want you to walk in a way that is proper. And we think about why. You remember that authentic witness we talked about last week? Cain did not walk properly before God, did he? We don't talk about Cain's witness anymore. We talk about the witness of Abel, 5,700 years later, who did what God told him to do, who honored God through his life, through his offerings, and through the way he lived. That's the kind of proper life God wants us to live. And that type of life testifies long before we're done, or long after we're done. So it's a truthful walk. It's an upright walk. Third, it's a loving walk. Ephesians 5:2 tells us, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. That's a hard walk, by the way. Y'all find it hard to love people sometimes? Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing that we have to understand. Christ loved those people who were spitting on him. Christ loved those people who were planning to kill him. You know, to the very end, he kept testifying to them, kept giving them parable after parable, lesson after lesson, confronting them each and every day. Come to me. Don't resent grace. Accept me for who I am. That was love. And we can be loving towards each other. You know, I've told you this before, but one of the sayings that stuck with me forever has been this. We only love God as much as we love the least one of our brothers. You can say that differently, but we only love God to the extent that we love one of our brothers the least. So pick out the one you love the least. That's really how much you love God. Because God tells us to love as who did? Christ. Were there any conditions on Christ's love? Not a one. Did Christ die for every person on the planet? Yes, he did. Anyone willing to put their faith in him, he died for. He loved everybody. Did he love Muslims? Yes. Did he love Baptists? Yes. Did he love people that say, I'm agnostic or I'm atheist? Yes. He loved them all, and that's what we're called to do. So it's a truthful walk, it's an upright walk, it's a loving walk, it is an enlightened walk. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What does that mean? We're to walk like God saved us. We're supposed to walk and share the testimony that we have eternal life. We're supposed to share the light of the gospel with others. You know, Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Nobody's going to light a candle and put a bushel basket over it. That would cover the light. You're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to shine light into those dark areas where it exists. How do we do that? We do that by taking the gospel message out these walls and we go fly like the ducks didn't do. We take that message out. We take it. We share it. Are we going to be rejected by some? Sure. But we still share it. That's what the light does. Next, it is a wise walk. Ephesians 5:15 tells us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise. What's wisdom? Well, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, we know. The fear means reverence. We treat God with the reverence He deserves. We treat God as God, not as the man upstairs, not as my co-pilot, not as the big guy, whatever other euphemisms we may use for God. He is our Creator, Sustainer, Lord. And we are wise enough to think, well, what do you want me to do here? What should I do here? We're wise enough to care what he thinks in our daily decisions. We're wise enough to care what he thinks about what we do at work. We're wise enough to think, okay, God, do you care about my family life? Yes, I do, he says. Do you care about who I vote for? Yes, I do. Do you care about what I do in my off time? Yes, I do. And he will give you his guidance, his wisdom, if we ask. James 1:5 tells us that God will freely give wisdom. All we got to do is ask. Then it is a walk that is characterized by good works. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are created for good works. Those good works bring glory to us. Is that the way it's designed? No, they bring glory to God. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But God has a plan for you in your life to produce good works. He gives you those opportunities. We have the responsibility to walk through those doors of opportunity. We have the responsibility to say, yes, Lord, I see it. And I'm going to take it. And I'm going to do that work that you've called me to do. But it is a walk that is characterized by good works. And then finally, Ephesians 4:1 sums it up like this. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing again, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you have been called. What is that calling? You've been called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have called to go out into a lost world and share a message that your Lord, your King, has given you. And that message is, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes upon him shall be saved. That's your message. Christ died for my sin and was buried. He rose again and was seen. That's your message. That is the message that we walk worthy of. We are called to do this. We're called to go out and teach people. We're called to go out and disciple people. We are called to go out and baptize people. We are called to go out and take that message to people in need, to support widows and orphans, those who've had disasters, those who've had problems. That's what we're called to do. We are called to be His representatives on earth. We're called to pray for those people who need prayer, those people who persecute us. We're called to love our enemies. And Paul says, y'all need to walk worthy of that calling. You need to understand what it means. And understand this, Enoch walked worthy. You know, Enoch walked worthy of God. Enoch walked with God in such a way that God treated him as righteous. He was a friend of God. They were so close, they just went out walking. Kept on going one day. And if you'll notice, this starts with a belief. It starts with the belief that we believe that Jesus Christ is. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. And that is step one. To become a Christian, that's all you have to do is to believe that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. He was buried like the Scripture said He would be, and He rose again on the third day just like the Scripture said He would. That's what it takes. You confess the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that God raised Him from the dead. After that, your life of discipleship starts. Your life of sanctification will start. God will start making you more like Him. That's the first element of saving faith. But you know, as Christians sometimes, y'all do like this in your faith sometimes? We need to have our faith pumped up sometimes. And what pumps that up is the Word of God. You can't do it by emotion. You can't do it by self-help books. You can't do it by anything else except this one self-help book. The bestseller of all time, by the way. This is the one that will teach you how to respond to those crises in faith. And we need, as Christians, to walk in faith with God each and every day. You say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm walking in faith. No. You may be a Christian and you've got faith. Are you walking in faith? Is your lifestyle reflecting this kind of lifestyle that Jesus wants? Is it truthful? Is it filled with good works? Is it a wise walk? Is it upright? Is it loving? Those are the things that our walk can be. And as Christians, we can walk with God in that way, or we can just kind of be Christians. We're saved. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. But the question is, are we walking the way that God wants us to walk? And if we're not, we need to confess those failures as sin, because that's what it is. We're not listening to God. We're not applying the principles that He's asked us to apply. We don't have the faith in Him. Remember, faith is not in our faith. Faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we understand who He is and all that He did for us, it ought to be easy to have faith in Him. You know, you think about a simple sentence, in the beginning God created. If you can get past that in Genesis 1:1, nothing else should be a problem, right? We have all kinds of things we have problems with. And Jesus will address each and every one of them. So He's calling us to step out in faith today, to put our faith in Him, and to continue to walk in faith. So if you're here today and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ at all, if you've never confessed, I believe that He is. I believe that He is my Savior, my Sustainer, my life, my Creator, my Savior, my Lord. If you've never said that, today's the day. You've heard the truth. The question is, what are you going to do with it? The question is, are you going to be like those ducks who heard the truth? Remember, the ducks said amen too. So they agreed. Hey, we got wings. We're good, right? And they walked right out and they waddled home. You going to walk out these doors and fly? You think God wants ducks to fly? Yes. You think God wants you to walk out these doors and be the person that He's called you to be? Yes. So that's the question today. If you've never put your faith in Him as step one, to say, I'm ready. This is who I know God is. I'm ready to put my complete trust in Him. Do that today. If you're here and we talked about it earlier, if you want to say, you know, I'm a child of God already, but I've never been baptized. We got water. The creek has no water. We have water. Right? We can take care of that. If you're here today and you want, you know, I need to be a part of a local church body. That's today too. We can do that today too. But more importantly, if God's speaking to your heart, if He's saying, hey, there's something in your life you're not walking with Me, you need to fix it between you and God. During our invitation today, pray that God would show you whatever it is that's causing a divide between you and God. No matter what that divide is, no matter what caused it, I will tell you the cure. The cure is Jesus Christ. The forgiveness that He gives to you, if you confess your sins, He says He is faithful and just to forgive those sins and bring us back into fellowship with Christ. We boys and I went through this morning the bridge. You guys have seen the bridge where, you know, man, God and man were created like this. Sin comes along and it separates us, and we're on two sides of a big mountain. How you get from one side to the other? We try all kinds of things. We try money. We try works. We try persuasion. We try bribery. God, if you'll just let me do this, I'll be good. You know, we'll do all those kind of things, and none of those work. But here comes the cross. And that cross just fits right in there and makes a nice little bridge where we can walk right across from our side to God. And it brings us back together again. So if you're here today and any of these things apply to you as we sing our invitation hymn today, deal with God. You're not dealing with us. You're dealing with God. So what I will ask you, if you do, and I know the veins will come up. You guys should know them, but we'll introduce everybody. Anybody else that wants to come up for any reason, come on up during the invitation time and we'll chat. And then we'll move on from there. So let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for Your word. We thank You for the testimony of Enoch. Father, we would love to walk with You like he did. Father, we would love to walk with You and just keep on walking one day, so much so we didn't even know anything was different, that we were walking with You on this planet one day and next step is in heaven. Father, we thank You for forgiveness. We thank You for the testimony about Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that anyone here who has never put their faith in Him, has never said, I believe that He is. I believe that He's my Creator, Sustainer. He's my Lord. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead after He died for my sins, that they would do that today. And Father, for those of us that are Christian, I pray that we would remember that we need to walk. We need to still walk worthy of You. We need to still walk in a way that's loving. We need to still walk in a way that is respectful, that is proper, that is wise, that is righteous, that is enlightened, that shows people who you are and leads them to you. Father, I pray that you would give us the opportunity to fly when we come out of here today. You give us the opportunity to meet somebody who doesn't know these things and to share the testimony that you've given us about your Son Jesus and what he's done in our lives. Father, have your time during this time of invitation, have your way during this time of invitation today. Work on any heart. You know each and every heart in this room. I pray that you would touch each heart, that you would work on each heart, and you would call for a response. And Father, I pray that we love you enough and we know who you are enough to recognize and accept you as God and to do what you've called us to do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.